This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I think Chris just swallowed a dilithium crystal. That's why it sounded like that. All right. Okay. So, of course, we're assuming right now that any such development could be hundreds of years away, but we don't know. You know, it could be there's a Zephyrin Cochrane kind of guy out there who will, 50 years from now, when the world's about to end, will invent this technology. We don't know.
Well, we'd like that.
How about Ben Rich making that very suggestive comment that we finally figured out the equation or something?
Oh, you mean that we have the technology to send E.T. home?
Right. Well, he said something about an equation or a formula that they've been scratching their heads over, evidently, for years, and they finally made some sort of breakthrough.
Yeah, well, it's all speculative, and until it actually comes out, you know, there's nothing we can, you know, we can always speculate, and that's it.
Right.
You know how we are. Us guys, we want facts. You know, we want data we can actually touch, you know, stuff
really
we can work on.
Show me your data.
Yeah. Now, you know, and speaking of the whole warp drive and the exoplanet stuff, I have a book that's I finished the illustrations for it, and it's going to be coming out. I'm still figuring out whether I'm going to e-publish it or hardcover publish it. It's got over 90 illustrations in it, so it might be a candidate for e-publishing. But it's called The Populated Universe, and it discusses, I believe, that the universe is really more conducive to life than not conducive to life. We see the building blocks of life everywhere we look out there, you know, almost everywhere, right? We see them on Europa. We see them on Titan. We see them on comets, for crying out loud. And we know that amino acids have been delivered to our planet via natural processes from comets striking the Earth, meteors striking the Earth, and then the Earth itself generating amino acids. So the Earth generates the building blocks of life, and the universe provides them with bombardments. If it happened here, it's happening there. I go out on a limb to say that. I'm not, you know, just because I don't know for sure that it's happening out there, I use our Earth as a very obvious example of what the universe is doing everywhere. It's creating this, what we have all around us. It's creating this in the habitable zones. Maybe a tree is a universal thing that happens. I don't know. You know, maybe a bipedal human type character, creature, whatever, is what happens everywhere. I don't know. It was evolutionarily selected Earth because of several large extinctions that left holes through which other species could exploit. All right? So when that small vole climbed out of its hole after the asteroid impact, you know, 100 years later, that vole went down another path, and, you know, that certainly changed it from what it might have been had the dinosaurs survived. So certainly we have mass extinctions to thank for our exact existence, you know, but we don't know what we would have looked like if the dinosaurs had not extincted. We don't even know that we would be here at all, right?
So possibly our existence is a matter of happy and unhappy odds. And the question would be, would those circumstances be duplicated elsewhere in the universe? Well, with so many possible options, perhaps they are, and perhaps more often than not. Even if there are only a few dozen highly advanced civilizations, that could mean quite a lot.
Yeah, it does. And the fact is that the estimate is that there's probably, we're looking at a small, tiny, teensy weensy, itty bitty, don't say yellow polka dot anything, okay? An itty bitty, teeny weeny, you know, sampling of planetary candidates that have become planets out there. And we don't know how many more are actually out there, but we infer through statistical analysis that there's quite a lot. Could be that there are perhaps up to 40 billion other Earth-like planets in our galaxy alone. That's billion as in boy, billion, okay? And boy, that's a lot. So and we have like about 400 billion stars in our galaxy, and maybe 10% of them actually are Earth-like planets. And this statistic is something that's coming out of the research. So this possibility is that we may not have to look to other galaxies to find advanced life. We might have it, nearby, near us. I'm not saying the universe is totally teeming with life, but I'm erring on the side that says I think that it may very well be. That's why I call it the populated universe. I think that life is the rule, not the exception.
Well, that being the case, that raises the odds for them being here, at least.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I study unidentified flying objects and why I'm working with Doug and a team of scientists that we put together from the Lawrence Livermore Lab who are actually helping us create these platters, we're calling them, to help detect this really interesting potential radiation coming from, far out in the atmosphere when something transitions out of a dimension from, who knows where to our dimension. So there's a lot going on. And I think that we're heading down the path of finally getting an answer to all that.
Why have we had no positive results, except I think maybe in one case there was something ambiguous, from SETI? Are they looking at the wrong things and searching for some kind of transmission from an intelligent race out there?
Well, I used to be sort of not a basher, but I was sort of skeptical of SETI in the beginning. But I've come to realize that SETI is actually doing a very important role. And that role is that the neutral band of hydrogen is a potential exploitable path that can be used by an alien civilization. Now, an advanced civilization wouldn't use it potentially because it's too slow. Because the things that leave and use the neutral band of hydrogen, the 21 centimeter band, would actually take their time getting places. That means traveling at light speed. All right, it would take 4 years for SETI to know if a signal was transmitted from Alpha Centauri. It would take thousands of years for a signal to be intercepted, from the other end of the stars in our galaxy somewhere. So the bottom line is that SETI's doing an important role because it's looking to see if anyone locally has exploited that communication regimen. But it's not practical. And I've always stuck to that. It isn't practical because you can't establish reliable two-way communication. If you get a message from an alien being, 10 light years away, "Hey, how are you?" And you respond, "Oh, we're fine. How are you? Nice to meet you." 10 years later, you might say, "Well, who are you?"
Of course, they have rather a fast changeover of government leaders and various governing philosophies. The sort of people or creatures you reach may not be there anymore in the same capacity. But the other question is here.
Much for galactic speed dating.
There's that. What about subspace? If we're going to have warp drive, or at least find a way to theorize warp drive as something that could actually happen. What does subspace radio mean to anyone? Is that like sending out the radio signals in a space warp?
I haven't a clue.
You haven't a clue, Captain? But I'm serious here. Would there be a way to transmit what we consider radio waves in a way that it's separate from the normal speed of light?
Well, when you talk about subspace communication, you have to say, what does that mean? What is subspace?
Well, obviously, it was a quick plot device to explain how they can talk to one another. We realized that they came up with things that were convenient. Just for example, we have the matter transporter because it was too expensive to show in Star Trek spaceships constantly landing with primitive special effects and a low budget. But if you just have them wink in and wink out and land somewhere else, that's fine. We have Mark D'Antonio trying to figure this all out And we are looking for those answers with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The award-winning Graphic Converter 10, the universal genius for photo editing apps on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for the Swiss Army Knife app. It gives you all the features that you expect, and most important, it's easy to use. You can get it for just $39.95 from www.lemkesoft.com. That's www.lemkesoft.com. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using the system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So obviously we understand that subspace radio was a plot device to make two-way communications possible from immensely long distance. But what about in the real universe?
I missed that. Can you repeat that?
Okay.
I apologize for that.
That's okay. Humans are not logical.
We humans are not logical. Exactly, Captain.
So tell us, seriously, obviously, subspace radio is a plot device. In the real universe.
Well, it might be a plot device. You know, I've never investigated subspace-type communication to know whether it was drawn from any real science out there. But I think it's interesting because what it implies is that there is communication that can kind of defeat the laws of the universe. I can imagine, if we move into the future, that a possible ship could actually create a little packet housed in a warp bubble that could go zipping through the universe at much faster a rate. In fact, maybe that's the way we're going to, quote-unquote, invent warp drive. Maybe it won't be a physical object we move through space, but maybe a packet of information that we send out to someplace. Like maybe we'll bounce a signal off Mars in a, quote-unquote, subspace packet moving at faster than light speed, and the signature coming back would bounce back off of Mars' surface, because some of it will get back, and that signal would then signify that we've succeeded in creating this technology, and then it would be a matter of moving up from there, scaling it up to move corporeal things like you and me at a warp drive. That's a possibility.
Well, doesn't that take us to the philosophy of a matter transporter that would work and transport human beings across space, not that's a Stargate.
Yeah, you know what? I think that the thing that's interesting is that scientists in Geneva some years ago did manage to do a – they were very careful not to call it a transporter, but they created a technology that actually moved atomic characteristics from one place to another. They acted like it was a transporter device, and the press picked it up as a transporter. But I honestly think that the thing that we'll do first, I believe, because we have a world here, we have energy needs, and we have people needs, I think the first thing we're going to do is build what is known as the replicator that you see on Star Trek. Again, science fiction to become science fact.
That would be like an enhanced 3D printer, almost.
All a replicator is a object that organizes organic molecules in the proper lattice or in the proper configuration such that a steak is made or a Fig Newton is made.
I suppose then if you have a sophisticated technology, you say, I want steak from this steakhouse, medium rare, 8-ounce sirloin or something. I'm just throwing this out. I don't eat steak that often, not at my salary.
I don't eat steak at all, actually. I mean, it's not for me. But I do... You know, I do think that there is a possibility that and that's a whole show in itself, you know, Star Trek technology that could become a reality, right? And I think that replicators are probably one of those first things that we're going to create. Well, let's be clear. There's already many people out there, many research organizations doing research on the warp bubble issue. In fact, that's why we know that the warp drive, the bubble energy, is now reduced from the mass of Jupiter to the mass of the Voyager spacecraft. You know, so there's also labs out there that are doing research on the Alcubierre metric and to see if it is plausible. We can't say it's plausible yet because we can't generate the energies required to make a warp bubble. The idea would be, well, if we can't generate that energy, maybe they occur naturally, and maybe we can find a warp bubble out there and utilize that. Now, that's a long shot, but it is a possibility.
Is that like almost in the TV show Farscape, they traveled through a wormhole to get from one part of the galaxy to another?
I think we want to be careful there because a wormhole and this technology that I'm talking about, these are two different things. Wormholes are fully within our standard model of physics. They're within the standard model that we live within. Okay, we understand wormholes. We understand Einstein's theory of relativity as it relates to wormholes. We understand how Hawking relates his concepts to wormholes. And so a wormhole is not, I think, where we're going with this. I think we're talking about something outside of the wormhole. But the logical thought is that it's a path that connects A to B. And so you might think wormhole, but I'd be hesitant to go down that path and call it a wormhole because that puts it now into a different physical realm, a physics realm.
Right, but the argument, as I said before, is you're making having a way to just jump from here to there. however it's done, that's a Stargate still, right?
You know what? I guess by some kind of name, if you want to call it a name, I mean, that's a cool name. Let's call it that, you know? It's a great show. I like MacGyver on it, you know?
Well, you know, that thing went through more episodes than any Star Trek series. It was on for, like, what, 15 years before it went off with different series, Stargate Atlantis.
Yes. I mean,
and we had Stargate Universe.
Yes.
And then we had Stargate SG-1. But the other thing that was interesting, too, is now the original creators of Stargate, Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin, who just had this semi-failure of an Independence Day sequel, they want to go back and redo Stargate all over again.
I hope they do. I hope they do. I think that'd be great. And you know what? I think they need Doug Trumbull.
Well, you should give them a call.
Yeah, I think that Doug knows Roland Emmerich, actually. But, you know, he's particular. For instance, he was offered the Star Wars franchise by George Lucas, and he decided he didn't want to do it because he didn't like the Star Wars universe, quote-unquote. That is to say, what passed through reality in that universe. He's more of a science-related guy when it comes to movies. He doesn't want to do stuff that's so far outside that realm. Yet, our latest movie we did called UFOTOG, which actually is named after the actual UFO detection system, you know, that movie is a 14-minute test movie that shows, you know, a concept in movie making that was pioneered up at the studio. But in that movie, we went for not wormholes, but we went for extra-dimensional travel and traveling that way. And we have another movie that we want to do, and it relays, you know, an arc, basically, of human beings, humanity, leaving Earth and going to another star and universe. And it realistically, you know, it takes 80 years to get there. I mean, it's a long distance, space opera, basically. And it's we see successive crews of families and children growing to grown old men, you know, all that stuff, you know, in the course of the movie is where it's going. So he likes the more real stuff. But, you know, if the whole concept, as we're talking about, of extra-dimensional travel could be quantified in a way that science can say, well, you know, it's not here yet, but maybe it can happen, just like we know the Alcubierre metric can work if we have the right amount of energy to do X, Y, and Z, then I would say that, that is something that he would probably have an interest in.
We've got more to get interested in with Gene and Chris and Mark. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Mark D'Antonio is with us. We're exploring the science, the possible future science, after we started out with the possibilities of life out there and what we discovered about it, the ways to get from there to here and back again. Chris, you have a question or two?
Yeah, I do. The first one relates to Mark's role as a chief video and photographic analyst for MUFON and the fact that, you know, you are a scientist and you do have very discerning analytical abilities. In Matthew 1977, wants to know if the D in D'Antonio stands for debunker.
You know what? I get that question a lot, not about the D in my name. But, Matthew, to answer your question, okay, and I have a little smirk on my face because those that work with me know that I'm not a debunker. I am absolutely hard on the data. And I'll tell you why. Because we know there's not a lot of good data out there. And we have to maintain the ability to discern between the good and the bad. That's all there is to it. And I know that I may not always be right on an assessment of an object. I don't claim to be right. But all I can bring to the table are my skills that I've developed over the last 40 years to try and discern the difference. I understand computer-generated graphics. I do that for a living in part. You know, I have my own studio here. I do my own visual effects work. I can see and recognize good special effects and bad special effects in the CG realm and in the physical realm. And I recognize things like, for instance, kites that are fitted with LEDs that are flown as UFOs. I can analyze those, and I can actually show the structure of the kite behind the lights, for instance. And I work with other scientists who are actually into this realm as well. And, you know, I never work in a vacuum. I'm not the be-all, end-all, and never, ever said I was. And I think that you have to be a team, you know, a good, solid team in order to do this. But I may not agree that something is a UFO when, you know, 50,000 people might say it is. You should have heard the names I was called when that Norway spiral started occurring. I got, you're right. I
we
got
just
that.
Had a new one last week.
Yeah, right. I got that video minutes after it was filmed. It was sent right to me. I looked at it, and literally within 5 minutes of viewing that video, I said, I know exactly what I think this – I think I know exactly what this is. This is a failed rocket launch. And I was waiting for that dark thing, you know, that we saw in the center that people called a Stargate opening up. I was waiting for that because that was going to be, to me, the destruction of the rocket body. And the stuff that had already flowed out of the rocket body would continue to go. And when it stopped flowing out, it would start with a small black area and then expand outward. And that's exactly what we saw. And I waited for it. I was saying, I think this is a rocket body rocket failure, you know, a gimbal lock or something. And somebody had to destroy a launch. Sure enough, the black disc, you know, shows up. I said, I believe that it's a rocket failure. You know, I think somebody lost a missile and it's a failure. And I was called unbelievable names. Everybody's, you idiot. You're a jerk. You're a debunker. You're this. You're that. I said, no, you know what? I have a thick hide. You're not getting through it. I'm just going by what I know this can be. And we have to err on the side of the knowns if it fits. That fit. So I called
Yay.
It. Well, you have to. You have no choice. You know, I don't care what people call me. I don't care what people say. The bottom line is that if I wasn't hard on the data, I'd be doing all of you out there in the audience and you, Matt, a disservice in saying, yeah, I think it's a UFO. You know, I believe they're here. I've had experiences that, you know, took me to, you know, a surgeon to remove something that was embedded in my sinus, okay? And it was a very traumatic event, and it precipitated me moving out of my old house because of it. So I'm no neophyte to this, and I'm no guy that makes stuff up as it goes. I don't need to, you know? So I believe they're here. I believe that we have something going on. I witnessed a USO on a nuclear submarine in 1994 when I was a guest on board a nuclear sub. I wasn't a sailor, but I was a guest. And we saw something that was moving, according to the sonar guy, several hundred knots.
Underwater?
Underwater. Wow. And because I saw it on the sonar. And, you know, the kid, I call him a kid, the sonar guy saw it. And he called the executive officer over, and the XO said, what do you got? And he says, you know, now, subs are quiet, right? But there's a perpetual hum and noise you hear on the sub. So you can't hear every word when someone's speaking quietly. You just can't. And it's quiet on the outside, not on the inside, you know? It's like, you know, caramel on the inside, not on the outside, whatever. Well, anyway, when he started talking about the course and the bearing, I saw where it was on the screen, but then I heard him say, you know, when the XO asked him, executive officer asked him how fast it was going, he said several hundred knots. And I was astonished. And after they had their little talk, you know, the XO, you know, told the kid, okay, well, log it and dog it, you know, just log it and then ditch it, you know, get rid of it, hide it, put it in the, and dog it turned out to mean put it in the file with the rest of them, as it turns out. And I later talked to that executive officer and I said, hey, you know, I have a little experience with these fast movers underwater, you know, can I help you with anything? And he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, are you having a good time, Mr. D'Antonio? I said, yes, I am. He said, let's keep it that way. Oh. Okay. Well, there you go.
You mentioned something in passing. I'm not going to let slip by because I'll be dogged by our listeners. You actually had what you thought was an implant removed. Could you tell us about that? I don't think we've ever talked about this.
Well, in my old house, I ended up having a situation where I was awakened over the course of three nights by something that was knocking at the top of my roof. And the first night I heard it and then went back to sleep. The second night I heard it and I got up and I went to look out the window and I had to lean over my two greyhound dogs, which are sleeping underneath the window. And it was a summer night, August night. And the, as I pressed my head to the screen to look up to see what was making that banging noise at the top of my roof that didn't wake anybody up but me. The dogs were looking at it. You know, and I could see in the dim light, because it was a street light out there that was bathing the room in light, a little bit of light. I could see the dogs were even looking at it, you know, and I was like, what is that? And I looked up, and I thought it was like a superstar woodpecker or something, like boom, 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 you know, like a beat the size of Mount Kilimanjaro banging on my house. And I went to look up, and I got hit in the face with a flash of white light. And I thought that I had a medical event. I didn't think I was, you know, abducted or anything. I thought it was a medical event. And I was, I froze, and I realized I was just flash blinded. Something flashed in my face. What the heck? And I thought it came from inside. I thought it was a medical thing, like I said. And I looked down, and the dogs were gone. And the male was in the closet sitting in the laundry pile, and the female was outside just peering in with her ears down and her head down low. And they never slept under that window again after that. That's a fact. I had to move their beds because they wouldn't sleep on their beds anymore. They just wouldn't go near that window. So that was the second night. And the third night, I woke up and I realized that I couldn't move. I couldn't hear. My ears were not working. They were shut off. And the worst part was I couldn't move my eyes. They were fixed and forward, and I couldn't move them. I mean, it's like, this is what it's like. And I thought, oh, no, this was a medical event. I should have said something, because now this is the real problem showing up, you know. However, out of the corner of my eye, you know, the peripheral vision, I could see a shape move past the open window, and it kind of approached me. And I was thinking, well, I'm in my bed. How can it be approaching me like this? And it was smoothly walking toward me, I guess. And I couldn't tell its shape because I couldn't look directly at it. But it looked sort of human-y. And it had a long, thin thin appendage, I guess. And then it had a shiny, not shiny, but illuminated white wand type thing, and it moved it back and forth in front of my nose, you know. And that was out of my, I mean, it was below my vision, but it was like, you know, it would come into my vision a little bit as it would pass in front of me, because I couldn't move my eyes. I couldn't look at it. I could only look straight ahead.
Before we go on, let's do a cliffhanger. We'll figure out what's going on there or not. Mark D'Antonio is telling us about something that would scare me to death if it happened to me. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that.
by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris and Mark on the Paracast, we continue. As you tell us about your experience here, it sounds like a sleep paralysis kind of thing, doesn't it, though?
That's just what I thought it was, and I didn't have any issues with it whatsoever. I figured that bright white light, it was a medical event. I didn't know if it was some kind of retina thing or detaching retina, which it wasn't. That third night, this thing was moving back and forth in front of my face, and then next thing I know, bam, it was morning, and I couldn't breathe. I was laying on my stomach in the bed, and I couldn't breathe, and I had to push myself off the bed, and the whole pillow was just saturated in my blood. And I was like, what happened? I couldn't understand it. And when I reached on the side of my face, I felt this intense pounding pain, and it was right in my left nostril. And I touched it, and it just like set me on fire in pain. And don't ask me why it took me 2 years to go to the doctor, but it took me 2 years to go to the doctor. And I just started carrying on my day normally. I didn't think about it whatsoever. And when I finally went to the doctor, it was because I couldn't breathe out of that left sinus. And from the moment that happened, from the moment I woke up that day with that, you know, the blood on the pillow, I couldn't breathe out of my left nostril. So for 2 years, I couldn't breathe there. And so I only had the right. So when I went to him and he sat me down, he looks up in there and he goes, "Holy cow," he says, "you've got something huge up there." And he said, "You know what? I can probably get it out. You know, if we can, you know, schedule a procedure, I can take it out." And I said, "Yeah, because I can't breathe." So we did that. He took it out, and, you know, I saw it, and it looked like two of my thumbs together, and it was a nasty, fleshy thing. I was like, you know, he called it a nasal polyp. I said, "Oh, okay, I have a nasal polyp, okay." I said, "Can those," and this is where it got weird. I said, "Can those things seed around, you know, a foreign object? You know, could they be caused by like a foreign object stuck up there?" He means, "You mean like a metal splinter from a machinist?" I went, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, sure. You know, that's a likely path they can follow." I said, "Oh, well, can you do me a favor?" I said, "Can you look in the center of it and see if there's anything in there, or somewhere in it, and make sure that, you know, see if there's anything in there?" And he goes, "Why?" And I made the mistake of telling him the story I just told you. And at the end of it, he laughed, said, "Oh," he goes, "I'm sure it wasn't aliens." Okay. And he says, "Call me in a week and I'll have the results for you." I went, "All right." So a week passes and I call the doctor's office and this, you know, receptionist answers. I said my name and she goes, oh, hold on, the doctor wants to talk to you." I went, whoa, wait. Whenever the doctor wants to talk to you, you know it ain't good news, right? So he gets on the phone and he says, "Hey, Mark, I just want to tell you that, you know, there's nothing to worry about. It's a benign thing, nothing to worry about." And I said, "Oh, so did they look at it? Did they find it? You know, did they find anything going on with it?" And he goes, "Well," he says, "that's the problem." He goes, "That's why I wanted to talk to you." He goes, "I have a record of them getting it, okay, but they say they never received it, and it's basically lost. And I said, wait, you lost it? He goes, yeah, it's the first time it's ever happened in my practice. That's what he told me. And he was 65 at the time. So I was blown away by that. So about 4 years later, he was going to be retiring, and I had another issue I went to him for. And I never got an answer on it, other than he just said it was a benign thing. So I go to him 4 years later on something else, and he was telling me, oh, I'm going to retire. He says, I just gave up my top secret clearance this year. I went, whoa, whoa, wait, what? I said, I don't know of any top secret ear, nose, and throat surgeons. Okay. And he says, yeah, well, he goes, I wasn't always a surgeon. That was where I went, and I held the clearance since then. And he told me about an event where he and his team launched a missile into space to take down an enemy satellite. And he said that they launched the missile out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. He wouldn't tell me where, maybe from an atoll or whatever. I thought it was from a ship. But then I realized, there's not a whole lot of missiles that can reach space from a ship. Okay. And, he said that he was in charge of engineering the firing solution for this thing. And that's, he had that clearance, and they cleared 1,600 miles all around that place that they launched it from. To make sure they could do it. And they destroyed an enemy satellite with it. That's what he said. So I was like, wow, why are you telling me this? apparently he forgot that I was there, a few years earlier with this problem. And then it all made sense to me. I put it together as a possibility. Possibility. Not definite, but possibility. He made the call because he had to. Under the conditions of your clearance, and I know this by experience, that if you see anything that's odd like that, you need to contact people above you to pass it on and go up the chain. So it's possible that my thing that they took out was, he called on it because of what I said and how I explained how it happened, and it was taken, and they came and got it. I mean, I'm not saying that's what happened, but it's all that I can think of, because how do you explain that as being the only time it ever happens in your practice?
Wow, what a intriguing story. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's all verifiable stuff. That the doctor was...
Give us the time frame. How long ago did the initial experience happen?
I think it was about 22 years ago now, about 22, 23 years. And that was followed by several others, which, I don't want to, just dive into right now, but it's just... a couple of other, crazy things happened. And I had, I was laying in the upstairs room here in the house I'm in. And, I heard little feet walking around in the attic above me. And my wife was also right next to me. She heard these little feet. And we followed the footsteps across the floor by just looking at the floor, see where the sound was coming from. We followed them across the floor. And we could hear them turning on the ball of the foot. It sounded like children. And I had two young children in the other room. And I was thinking, what are the kids doing in the attic? And she said the same thing. I got up and I ran into their room, and they were both in their beds. And I said, uh-oh. There's something with two legs, a little thing walking around in my upstairs attic. What the heck is that? So I at the time I was doing some special work for the Navy. And I work out of my home for that, and with my business, FX Models. And so in doing so, I called the police. And I told them, okay, I think we have an intruder. I can't be sure, but we're hearing footsteps above us. And, they know what I do in this town. And I immediately, as I was saying that, I'm looking out the window, and I see the blue lights reflecting off the trees because they're already on their way. And they came. Within 15 seconds, they were there, and they came out, and they split up. They went around the house. They checked the eaves on the outside to make sure nobody had punched them out. Then we all went inside the house, and we went to the place where you have to go up a small set of stairs to open a door to get into this attic, okay? Do you know that not one of us said, let's go up in the attic? We just stared at that door, and... We all just looked at each other and said, I guess it's nothing. And they went home.
The cops never even checked the attic?
Never checked the attic. And I was blown away by that later on the next day when I said to myself, What the heck? Isn't it their job? Why? What made them stay away from there? Maybe nothing. Maybe they were just not efficient or something. I don't know, but I can't say that because these are good folks here. So I don't know what it was, but it was definitely something I could not explain. I just couldn't explain it.
Wow. Well, here's another question. Kind of, I must say that's a fascinating personal experience. So.
Yeah, but it's unprovable, right? I mean, it's unprovable.
Yeah, it's all unprovable, but it does indicate possible motivations that you have to be so interested in these subjects.
Maybe so, but I want to point out something very, very important here. Okay, we all hear about anecdotal evidence. People call things anecdotal evidence. I think those words don't belong together. What happened to me, everything I've relayed, is anecdotal information. It only becomes evidence when multiple people have the same information from different time frames or different sources. It comes together, then it can be called evidence.
Right.
So I only have anecdotal information. I don't have anecdotal evidence. Those words don't make sense. So it's information, not evidence. And so you have to take it for what it is. With my background, I'm very hard on my own data. I'm not just anyone else's.
Did you ever go up to the attic? I mean, days later,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you find any footprints in dust or anything moved around out of place or anything like that?
I found that one of my kids had been up there and playing around.
We'll get into more of that in a moment. I'm not going to say that was it. We got Mark D'Antonio, and he'll answer my silly crack. Or crack me, depending on your point of view. With Gene and Chris and Mark, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.